I say? Quiet! I now declare open this general meeting of the Noise Abatement Society.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Joan Sims in...
Stop messing about. I must tell you, if I appear a little fraught, it's because I've just had a bit of a ding-dong with the producer.
And
hello. What's the matter with you?
Well, I've had a quarrel with you. A lover's tiff.
Well, don't cry. Your mascara's running down your cheeks. Oh, you look like a mint humbug.
I can't help it.
Oh, yeah, take a page of my script. Have a good blow.
No, I'm all right. Oh, why did I let him do it?
Oh, so that's what it's all about, is it?
It most certainly is not.
Ah, the villain enters stage left. He speaks.
You may tell Miss Sims that if she wishes to speak to me, it must be through an intermediary.
What's that, some sort of megaphone?
Please tell Mr. Paddock that I'm sorry, that I still love him, and I want to make it up.
Mr. Paddock, Miss Sims says that she'll never forgive you and she never wants to speak to you again.
Please inform Miss Sims that I accept her apology, that I love her, and I also want to make it up.
Miss Sims, Mr. Paddock says that you have a face like the back of a tram, and if he never ever sees you again, it'll be too soon, you ugly old rat bag.
What are you trying to do? Break up a beautiful relationship?
Yes.
Oh, Hugh.
Oh, Joan. We won't let him come between us.
The way you two are standing at the moment, there wouldn't be much room, would there?
We'll never have another row, darling, ever.
No, it's all my fault.
No, it was my fault.
No, darling, it was my fault.
No, really, it was my fault.
If I say it was my fault, it was my fault.
It was my fault, and there is no need to shout.
I am not shouting!
Why must you always be so stubborn?
Be stubborn? What about you?
Oh, now he's calling me names again.
Yeah, I'm going to have a page to be stripped.
Women!
You've been listening to this week's installment of War and Peace, episode 1, War. Come on, Douglas. Douglas, get in quick with an announcement before they decide to make it up and start on over again.
Certainly, Mr. Williams. See how this, as they say, turns you on. Nowadays, it's possible to have package deal holidays in almost any corner of the globe.
My globe hasn't got any corners.
Well, bully for you. But some people find it difficult to change the holiday habits of a lifetime. For example, take Sid and Rita Dipfinger.
Oh, but Rita, they always do us very well at Beau Rivage. They know our little ways.
Yeah. So I should hope. And after 25 years, I could do with a bit of a change, dear.
Yeah, come to that, so could the tablecloth at Beau Rivage. Last summer, it still had that ketchup stain from our honeymoon.
Second helpings of everything.
And the lucky offshoe in the egg custard.
And confetti everywhere. Oh, but the thing is, Sid, I've been looking at this brochure. How about this? Pony trekking through the scenic splendours of New Zealand. Visit the sulphur springs and geysers of Rotorua.
Well, if it's geysers you're after, there's a lovely one in the bathroom at Bowery Bath.
Well, they haven't got sulphur springs, they're worth that.
I wouldn't be too sure. If you'd light a fag on the landing, it blows up in your face.
Yes, of course, there's always the Gobi Desert, see?
Oh, no, Well, Rita, Mrs. Wallace opposite went there. Sent us the card last year. I didn't like the look of her hotel at all.
Well, it was right on the beach.
It was right on the beach, but where was the sea? She had that nasty experience sharing a room with a camel.
Yes, well, of course. If I'd been her, I'd have put the light out before I got undressed.
Well, if you'd been her, I expect the camel would have put the light out for you. Make a forager breakfast.
No, but seriously. We must make a reservation soon or everywhere will be booked up.
Oh, well, I don't think you can beat Beau Rivage, Rita. With any luck, we'll get the room with the window.
Well, I'd better write off at once, Sid. What's the address?
Beau Rivage, Marine Drive, Bermuda.
It's time now for Crackerjack and Audie with Mother. And here, fresh as a May morning and bursting out all over like June, is Bunching Maud Nethersole.
Hello, Tinies, and Piggies too. Yesterday at my local library, I picked up something fascinating. The head librarian showed me a book on Irish folklore written by an Irish folk lawyer. And here is one of its many jolly tales. There was once a leprechaun called Seamus, who was terribly careless with his shillelagh. He kept on losing it. And as you may know, a leprechaun without his shillelagh is like a bell without a clapper. No damned use to anyone. He stormed out of the house, and all at once he met a Cornish pixie called Edna, who was walking from Land's End to John O'Groats, and had taken the wrong turning at Chalfont St. Giles. Foolishly, she had asked a plastic gnome the way, and he'd led her up the garden.
Hello,
said Edna.
I've lost my way.
To which Seamus replied,
Forget it, my voice is a fire. Oh, how awful, said Edna. Perhaps I can help you find it.
And from her pixie bosom, she produced a crystal ball. This was a great relief to Seamus. As he thought things seemed a bit one-sided. Conversation-wise. Suddenly, she saw Seamus's shillelagh in full colour. Do you think it was? You'll never believe this. He was sitting on it. Well, how did that grab you, Tinies? Anyway, here's a little Irish folk song about a goat, which is sung by the little Irish folk. I bought a nanny goat, its name was Mother Riley. It had a shaggy coat, which smelt extremely highly, but I liked it. I washed it in the stream, it needed several washes. It threw me on me back and nibbled my galoshes, but I liked it, I quite liked it. I dried it with a towel, and though it may sound silly, I found me nanny goat was actually a billy. Oh, I sold it, but I miss it, 'cause I liked it.
And so So we come to our regular feature, Feeble Fables, Stories with a Moral. This week our setting is the Industrial North, as distinct from the Bone Idol South. Could we have some Trouble at Mill music, please?
My name is Edgar Rice Pudding. I'm one of the Yorkshire Puddings. Many historic buildings here in Twitley are associated with the family name of Pudding, like the square, the library, and the club. I own a construction kit company, DIT Limited. Do it yourself. We make kits for everything.
Stop talking to thyself, Edgar. And try to remember today's the day that young Chaley, your son, comes home from the University of London.
Aye, Granny. I never dreamed that an ignorant man like me would one day be the father of a college pudding.
Any minute now he'll walk through that door, a fine, strapping young lad, poised and polished.
Hello.
Great jumping J.B. Priestley. Does he look like? Lavender velvet jacket, flared trousers.
And what's that hanging down in front?
It's me, Dingle Dangle. Well, Father, I'm back, ready to help you run the factory and have my seat on the board.
The only board your seat will be on is a bench in the workers' canteen.
Pardon?
You'll start out floor with girls and work yourself up.
I'm one of the Yorkshire Moors. I work for the Puddings at the Do It Yourself Limited, and I've been at it since I was 16. So have most of the other girls up our street, but that's another story. I started in the nut and bolt section as a bolter. Then I became a nutter. So they transferred me to the dispatch department. Sent me packing, so to speak. I'd waited 3 years for Chaley to return. And when he walked into the packing department that Monday morning... Chaley!
Oh, why, it's Emily, my childhood sweetheart.
Oh, you remember?
Yeah, mixed infants. When I used to tie your plaits together and then hang you up a tree. Well, we're here to work. You better show me how to do it.
Well, we're packing kits for do-it-yourself baths this week.
Oh.
All you have to remember is it's one bath, two taps... Four legs and a plug.
Oh, I think I've got it.
I tell you what, I'll take a bath and let you watch.
Oh, nice. And so I started work. On and on I worked, clawing my way to reach my goal. On and on, until at last that moment came. The golden moment that I've been working for, praying for, striving for. Tea break.
It's all right, everybody. Stand at ease. I've only come to see how my lad is making out.
Well, he's made out so far, I'll tell you that, Mr. Pudding.
That's not true. I've made two parcels. One's been sent off already.
And what about the other?
Not during working hours.
The other parcel.
Oh, yeah, that's nearly finished. But I thank you. Yeah, that's nearly finished, but I can't get hold of any legs.
Not for the want of trying, as far as mine are concerned.
But there's plenty of legs up there. They've all gone.
Well, I've packed all those into my first parcel. One bath, two taps, 400 legs and a plug.
Oh, no, Chaley.
400 of them? All gone in one do-it-yourself outfit? You're fired, you great twit.
And the moral of this week's story is, don't put all your legs into one bath kit.
Problem Corner. Once again, we cross to the gloomy side of the street and meet our problem man of the week.
My name is Clarence J. Mouse, partner, and I'm afraid...
There's no need to...
I haven't finished. I'm afraid my problem has to do with... theft. May I speak frankly?
Of course. Speak a bit louder as well.
Yes, I'll try. You see, the truth of the matter is I'm sexually attractive to birds.
Well, that isn't a problem.
It is when they're the sort with feathers and wings. They keep following me home. Making provocative noises and... No. Not only that, they wiggle their tail feathers at me. Pigeons are the worst.
They always are.
Mind you, them starlings are a brazen lot as well. When I go to bed, they fly into the room with little tokens of affection. No, little bits of string and worms and old toffee papers and that.
God, it's graceful. How does your wife feel about all this?
My loving helpmate has been very sympathetic. Up till this morning, that is.
What happened this morning?
Well, she was sitting in her bath, in all innocence, when a seagull flew in and I hardly like to tell you this.
I hardly like to listen.
It flew in and started building a nest in a soap dish to be near me.
You had me worried for a moment.
Well, how do you think my wife fell? Sitting there with only a loofah to protect herself. So now she's suing me for divorce.
Oh, dear, as bad as that.
Worst.
Thereby to assume that the correspondent is a seagull?
Well, no. I have asked our budget to provide the evidence. We're going to Brighton for the weekend. Thought it better to keep the whole thing in the family.
Very wise, less publicity.
Yes. But now I have got another little problem.
Oh, dear. Has your budgie refused to appear in court?
No, but I've been up all night trying to teach it the oath.
Time now for our song spot, and for devotees of the art of antiphonic cantatas, we bring you the Maxi Leg Paris Male Voice Choir.
It's better to open up your eek and sing. It's better to hear the obi voices ring in harmony.
Oh, hello. And greetings to all from a couple of contrapuntal omies.
Yes,
that's what we are.
We've just done a highly successful tour of your working men's club.
And they loved us and we loved them.
Oh, what a triumph
it was.
Triumph. I always say if you want a big hand, you'll find it in a working man's club.
Don't tell no lies. No, you will, and like as not, a lovely fella on the end of it.
Like as not.
Excuse me.
Oh, hello. Thought you were going to put your head in a bucket and died.
Not yet, but I probably will when you start singing.
Oh, Miss Prussic, straight out the acid bottle.
What song are you going to delight us with today?
Jack, I've had several requests for a waltz by Joan Strauss.
Joan! Joan? That great Nana? Johann Strauss, a fellow.
Fellow. Johann, that's right. Yeah, yes. Johann.
Han.
Yes.
Nice.
And it's called Morning Papers.
That's right. Mm.
Yes. I think I'll wait for the lunchtime edition.
No, don't.
In Vienna, there were grouses from a couple name of Schmidt. They lived next door to the Strausses, which they didn't like a bit. All night long, the waltzes cheerful came a-pounding through the wall.
And the Smiths, who got an earful, found they couldn't sleep at all.
Mrs. Schmidt would lay there shaking while her husband paced the floor,
saying, is there no escaping from the frightful dear next door?
Then one night they found the answer,
and it thrilled them both to bits.
That's why Strauss wrote lots of waltzes.
And why there's lots of little Schmidts.
time for the Schmidt Report. And this week we take a look at the subject of education. Can we learn anything from it?
I've just come back from nature study classes at the Adult Education Centre, and tonight we were studying ladybirds. I think the ladybird must be the most frustrated person in the animal kingdom, because do you know there's no such thing as a gentleman bird?
I'll tell you what, I went out with a school teacher once. Very nice it was, very nice indeed. I mean, who else but a teacher would keep making you do it over and over again till you got it right?
Visual aids are becoming more and more a part of the educational pattern, and there is no stronger visual aid than television. Some educational programmes are very entertaining, but this seldom happens with subjects like mathematics. Why? Surely there can be emotion and drama, even in learning to count.
Stop it, Roger. You are a one.
Daphne, you're a one, two.
I may be a one, two, but I want to be free.
Free, Daphne? Free? What? Four.
Can you blame me if five? If five aren't what my heart really seeks?
Tell me another man. But it's seven. Seven here in your arms.
I ate you.
I know, I'm not denying it.
When are you going?
Ten.
What do you mean?
Eight, nine, ten. Out.
Three films have been released this week which take the teaching profession as their subject. The first of these deals with the revolt against corporal punishment in schools. And it's called The Cane Mutiny.
Four. Five. Six. There. Perhaps that'll teach you not to play about with the girls during lessons. Now get back to your class. Which one is it, by the way?
4B, sir. I'm teaching them history.
The love life of a Sunday school teacher is examined in the award-winning film Never on Weekdays.
Oh, Arthur, I'm so ashamed. We shouldn't have done what we just done.
I'm sorry, Miriam, that was my fault. Please don't cry.
But how can I face those sweet, innocent children on Sunday, knowing that I've sinned twice?
What do you mean, twice?
Well, we're going to do it again, aren't we?
Our final excerpt is from the updated upper-class version of Goodbye, Mr. Chips, entitled Au Revoir, Mr. French Fried Potatoes. The scene opens in the housemaster's study.
Come in. Spencer, I believe you wanted to have a word.
Well,
Come along, speak up, boy.
I'm in love with your wife.
Spencer, how dare you? I'm in love with your wife, sir.
Either way, I love her and we want to go away together.
But if you run away with my wife, Spencer, I can't have it. I won't have it.
Well, we thought perhaps matron would be a consolation.
Humphrey, there's something I must say to... Oh...
It's all right, Enid. I've already told him everything.
We're going away together tonight.
But it's the big rugger match tomorrow, and he's our leading scorer.
Well, with all due respect, sir, I'd rather have a dead cert than a good try.
You are letting down the team, your house, and the school.
School, that's your trouble. You're a teacher 24 hours a day. I've never found out what you really think of me.
Oh, you soon will. It's all in your end-of-term report.
That does it. Come along, Roger.
Wait! Spencer, you can't go. You're a prefect. You give out the books and turn out the lights at bedtime.
I'm sorry, sir. I must go.
Oh, very well. Go. Go. Never darken my dorm again.
There's just one thing I want to say to you before I leave forever.
And what's that?
Can I have my catapult back?
Yeah. That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Miles Rudge and David Cumming and Derek Collier. The producer was John Simmons.